Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to RMB Morgan Stanley Life Healthcare Pre-Close Business Update Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. If you should need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would like to hand the conference over to Roy Campbell. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Jess. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us this afternoon. It's Roy Campbell from RMB Morgan Stanley, and welcome to the Life Healthcare pre-close call. We've got Life CEO Andre Meyer, Peter van der Westhuizen, CFO, and I'm going to hand it over to Adam Pyle, Investor Relations, for a short intro. Thanks, Adam.
Okay, thank you, Roy. Good afternoon, everyone, or also good morning if you're phoning in or listening in the U.S. So welcome to the sort of Life Healthcare 2016 pre-close call. I'm going to hand over to Andre, who will sort of cover the business performance for the territories over the second half, and then we'll hand over to Peter, who will cover the financial side. We'll keep it fairly brief and short, and once that is done, we'll be happy to take questions. So I'm going to hand over to Andre now to cover the business performance for the second half.
Thank you, Adam. I'm going to start with the summary of the outlook that we gave during the 2016 interim results. Starting off with South Africa, bed growth, so we guided an additional 119 beds in H2, consisting of 24 brownfield beds and 95 mental health beds. PPD growth, we said, will be expected to be between 2.5% or 3.5%. EBITDA margins, we said, margins may come under pressure due to the rand weakness, and we guided a range of between 27.5% and 28.5%. And then we also said in South Africa we want to continue focusing on improving our clinical quality outcomes with specific attention to ensuring that the reporting is done accurately. On international, starting off with Poland, a continued focus on revenue and EBITDA growth. Also a continued focus on completing the integration of the acquired businesses to drive efficiencies and margin improvements, and we're considering the secondment of Life Healthcare staff to assist in this process. We've also said that we will continue with the M&A activity. In India, a continued focus on bidding down the Vaishali Hospital, as well as the Max Saket Smart Hospital acquisition. We expected continued good revenue growth, and we committed to a continued focus on improving margins with specific focus on targeting costs in the business. The current position, starting with South Africa, is as follows. We are experiencing a difficult economic environment in South Africa with low to non-existent economic growth. We expect the lack of growth in new lives into the private healthcare market to have continued into 2016. Despite the strengthening of the rand over the last few months, the rand is still at weaker levels to the US dollar than 12 months previously. And this has had a negative impact on the price of surgicals. However, despite this difficult environment, we have experienced a solid six-month performance with activity growth in line with expectations combined with good management of costs. On the SA acute business, the bed growth for 2016 financial year, additional brownfield beds plus minus 140 beds, depending on the completion of some projects in September. We've seen strong PPD growth, and we expect between 3 and 3.5% growth in PPD subject to the September results. Occupancy is consistent at between 71 and 72%. Pricing will be similar to H1, and we continue to see the trend of faster growth in medical cases versus surgical cases. On the complementary business, we continue to see strong growth in our mental health business. The 35 mental health beds at Life Vincent Bellotti are complete, awaiting inspection, and should open at the end of September, early October. The 55 mental health beds at Life Carston are running a few months late, and we expect these beds to open quarter 1 2017 financial year. We've seen continued growth in renal dialysis, and we've added a total of 30 stations for the financial year. We've also opened a new oncology unit at Life Hilton, where we've seen good activity. On the healthcare services business, the healthcare services experienced a difficult second half, with likely said many revenues that will be lower in H2 due to the non-renewal of the 570 mental health beds as of 30 June 2016. Life occupational health is closely aligned with the economy, particularly large manufacturing and mining, and the revenue growth will be in line with H1, but we've seen a contraction in margins. On the SA regulatory front, the health market inquiry process is delayed, and we're not sure when the provisional report will be released. However, the panel did indicate that it is their intention to release the provisional report this year still. There is ongoing interaction between Life Healthcare and the HMI panel, and we've met with the panel on a few occasions and have also provided large volumes of data to them. The HMI hearings are continuing, but in a closed format rather than open public hearings. And at this stage, it is difficult to say what the changes will be that the panel will recommend. On the international front, starting off with Poland, the new cardiac pricing came into effect on 1 July, which resulted in approximately a 20% decrease in pricing. Cardiology represents 45% of the ScanMed business. The tariff reforms will have a limited impact in 2016 due to timing, but will have a significant impact in 2017 financial year. We do also expect some orthopedic price changes in January 2017, but the impact is not material. Our focus going forward will be to drive further efficiency in the business in order to try and mitigate the impact of the new cardiac prices and to assist with improving efficiencies and driving integration. We've changed the management. We put a new CEO in place in July this year, Mr. Hubert Boder, previously with Vauxhall. And we've also seconded some South African management to ScanMed. The M&A activities are on hold until we have further clarity regarding the tariff reforms. On Max Healthcare, we continue to see good revenue growth with improved occupancies in Vaishali and also in the Max Saket Smart Hospitals. Vaishali occupancy is currently at 68%, up from 60% at the acquisition date, and the Saket Smart occupancy sitting at 72%, up from 58% at acquisition. Max Healthcare now has approximately 2,330 operational beds. The listing of Max India occurred in July, and that business consists of Max Healthcare, the business in which Life Healthcare has a 46.25% shareholding, Max Bupa, the health insurance business, and the Antara senior living business. The share price for that business is now around 148 Indian rupees, which places a value of 5 billion rand on the Life Healthcare stake. I'm now handing over to Peter van der Westhuizen, who will address the finance overview.
Just going through the different territories where we operate. In SA, as Andre said, the margins were slightly under pressure due to the impact of the weaker currency. And we expect a slight decrease in the EBITDA margin, but still between the ranges of 27.5 to 28.5. In Poland, the introduction of a cardiac pricing from the 1st of July did result in an overall decrease in ScanMed EBITDA margins. But it will be specifically impacted for the 2017 financial year due to the timing only for 3 months in the current financial year. And we will continue to focus on driving efficiencies to mitigate this impact. In India, we're starting to see an increase in the margins as a result of the improved occupancies, particularly in the two new hospitals that we acquired in the last 12 months, so the Charlie facility and the MaxSmart facility. Cash flows. Cash generated as a percentage of normalized EBITDA will be consistent with 2015 percentage at around 95% of EBITDA. On our balance sheet, our interim, the net debt was 7.9 billion rand, net debt to normalized EBITDA of 1.7 times, and it's at similar levels for the end of the financial year. We have announced an impairment of not more than 380 million rand in the Polish business due to the new cardiac tariffs earlier in this 6 months. Our finance costs for the second half will be slightly higher than the third one due to the timing of the PGM acquisition that happened on the 1st of November of 2015. I'll now hand you back to Andre to go through the conclusion.
Thank you, Peter. I want to ask Adam just to handle the conclusion.
Yeah, just to say that in terms of our results presentation, we're having our webcast on Friday the 11th of November at 10 o'clock on South African time. We will then go on our annual roadshow, results roadshow. We'll be in London from the 16th to 18th of November, attending the investor conference in London. And then after that, we'll be doing a roadshow in South Africa a week later on between the 21st and 23rd of November. So we kind of reverse that round. Normally we do SA first, but just for a number of reasons, we'll be doing SA after that. So that sort of concludes our sort of brief overview of H2. We'll be happy to take questions.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star, then one. That'll place you in the question queue. If you ever decide to withdraw the question, you're welcome to press star, then two, to remove yourself from the question queue. The first question comes from Sean Unger of Arcan Capital.
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a couple of questions. Hi. Just in terms of the SA margin outlook, do you mind just commenting a little bit further on that? Sort of, obviously the rand is weaker year on year, but half and half it did strengthen a little bit. Coupled with that, you slightly upgraded your PPD outlook. I think obviously the maximum is still in place, but the sort of the bottom end has been revised. And then just also in Poland, maybe you could just comment a little bit further as to what sort of efficiencies you are driving through the business. Thanks.
Okay. So do the margin.
I'll do the margin South Africa, sure. So although the rand has strengthened slightly in the second half, because of the weakness in the first half, the pricing increases did come through. So we do expect going forward that there will be a slight pricing decrease in some of the suppliers. But typically there's a lag on this. So the pricing did impact us in the second half. And then the PPD volumes does give us a benefit in terms of it, and that's the reason why we say it doesn't weaken by so much compared to what we expected.
Yeah, and from the start of the PPD growth, so we've had a fairly strong second half so far. We haven't seen September yet, obviously, but it's been a fairly strong half, which has resulted in us sort of upgrading the PPD outlook from, like we said, 2.5 to 3.5 to 3 to 3.5. So we have seen good consistent growth, and just a point that Peter's making on the margins that because the rand fell out of bed in December last year with the issues of finance minister, we had the suppliers on our door in February, March this year asking for increases. So some of those increases came through at the end of H1, and we're experiencing, so we get the full H2 impact of those increases that went through. So it certainly have an impact going forward, which will run stronger in terms of next year. But for the moment, it will have an impact.
Sean, in Poland, the two managers we have there, the one guy is a senior person at the executive level. He's got extensive experience in integration of hospitals. The other one, also at senior level, with extensive experience in running hospitals, are really focusing at driving costs up. The one thing that we understood when we replaced the management was that the integration did not happen at the level that we expected. So the focus for them now is to ensure that the integration is done properly, to ensure that we identify costs that can be taken out, and also that we focus on centralized procurement. And that, again, is an issue that we have not focused on in the past. And then also IT. IT is another component in terms of driving the integration and driving costs out of the system.
Okay, great. Do you mind if I have a follow-up on India?
Sure.
Just in terms of India, maybe you could just comment. I mean, obviously, it's depreciation and finance costs quite heavy at the moment. Maybe you could just sort of give us a bit of outlook as to when you think the business will actually become profitable at the bottom line. And then just link to that, maybe comment around IFC shareholding at this point, and if you see sort of any opportunity to obviously get that 50+1.
Sean, first, in terms of business plans, we would expect that at the current portfolio that we've got in India, that it turns positive at earnings level, excluding the funding costs that we've put in the next 18 months. In terms of the IFC is elected to take up their stake at one stage they were talking about selling. So that's not on the table anymore. And even if they do decide to sell, Max has indicated that they will exercise their preemptive rights as well. So they will take a pro-rata share and we will be still equal partners.
Okay, great. Thanks.
The next question comes from Matthew Menenis of Citigroup.
Thanks for the call. I'm sure a lot of people on the call would have picked up the headlines around post-Brexit bargains. Can you guys talk to some of the sort of regions or qualities that you guys are looking for at M&A, X, India and Poland?
I think there, Matthew, just regarding that article, I think it came out, I don't think there's anything, I think as journalists pick up on a story which is not new in terms of what we put out at interim. You know, we have said we're looking at a third territory as part of our process, and nothing's really changed in terms of our outlook. You know, I think at interim, as we said, we were looking at parts of Western Europe, UK. We're looking at hospitals. We're looking also at businesses outside that, such as pathology, oncology, and so on. You know, growth areas in terms of what we really see medicine going future with the disease burden aging that's happening. So there's nothing new and certainly no updates. You know, we continue to look at assets that come across our desk. But you know, it's a difficult process, particularly in the current pricing environment at the moment.
I think also just maybe just to add to what Adam said, and again, it's nothing new. You know, we did say to the journalists that we don't want to repeat what we've done in Poland and India in terms of a ramp-up story, that we'd like to, you know, acquire something that's a bit more chunkier. So as Adam said, nothing new in that regard.
So I guess, would you be loath to do a earnings dilutive deal, I take it?
Yes, we would love to.
Okay. Cool. Thanks very much.
Okay.
The next question comes from Mark Buckley of Physio Capital.
Good afternoon, guys. Just a quick one on the announcement today that Humphrey Zakufa from BHF has been appointed as the chairman of CMS. Just your thoughts on that. I mean, he's been obviously very vocal on supporting NHI and universal healthcare and those sort of things. So it appears a little bit like the Trojan, this kind of Trojan horse being led into the back door. So just your thoughts on that, please. Thanks.
Yeah, Mark, I don't think it's going to make any difference to the prices where we are right now. It really comes down to affordability. And I think that for us, the first priority is to get HMI out the way and to understand what's going to come out of HMI. I think it's going to be really difficult to implement NHI, and I can't see how Humphrey will make any difference as far as that is concerned. Humphrey is very pro-NHI, and, you know, when he was with PHF, was very vocal about that. But I don't think his position is going to change it.
Yeah, I think from our side as well, you know, Humphrey, I think, is 64 years old. So I'm not quite sure how long his tenure will be at, I think they have a maximum cap of 55.
3 years of contract.
3 year contract. You know, so it's, it's such an interesting move. And things, so maybe the BHF are happy. It'll certainly add some flavor to the market.
Yeah, I mean, it's been controversial, and, you know, the CMS has had a different stance from him. So that's why I'm just wondering, you know, if this is a slightly more...
I think what is also going to be interesting is that, you know, there's really been a fallout between BHF and some of the administrators and medical schemes in the market because of the controversial statements that Humphrey's often used to make. And it's going to be interesting how that unfolds now with him being the CMS.
I mean, I think, Mark, from our side, the more immediate issue which we would look at is the approach CMS take to PMDs.
Yeah, exactly.
We would look at that as a bigger issue to focus on rather than NHI. Because you know, Humphrey was quite vocal about the payment around PMDs, wanting to put in a sort of a cap in terms of what's paid. Now, that doesn't have a an impact on our hospital tariffs, because we don't differentiate between a PMB and non-PMB, but potentially that down the road that has an impact in terms of what doctors charge. But that's it still takes quite a while to change these things, and then also requires the involvement and sort of approval of the medical schemes.
And you lost the court case, so
Yeah.
How much can you change?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a final reminder: if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star then one. We have a follow-up question from Matthew of Citigroup.
Thanks. Can you just remind us of what your gearing tolerance is, a sort of maximum net debt to EBITDA, with regard to M&A?
Matthew, at the moment, on the South African basis, our current agreement covenant is 2.75 times.
And, okay, cool. That's good. Thanks.
The next question comes from Avnish Kalkadasad of Deutsche Bank.
Hi, afternoon, guys. Thanks very much for the call. Just a couple of questions from my side. Firstly, on mental health, I can't remember if you guys give an indication of how much revenue your mental health division delivers and what sort of margins you get on mental health. And then going back to Matthew's question around the acquisitions, I mean, there was talk of up to USD, about $1 billion that could be invested. I think that pushes you above the debt covenants that you have. So, and could there be some sort of equity issue if the right deal comes along? And then just remind me again of the dividend policy. I know you guys target quite a high payout ratio, but I'm not sure if there's a range that you want to stick by.
Okay, hi, Vanessa, Adam here. So we don't typically talk about our mental health revenue. It's sort of part of the complementary services. But we do talk about the margins there being in sort of the mid 30%, and that hasn't changed. Complementary, although it's a good growth area, and we'll be adding mental health beds at the end of this year, early next year, it's still a small part of our overall business. I guess in this sort of a couple of percent, 2-3%, I guess around about, if it.
Yeah.
We've seen high occupancy for mental health this year, I think over 80%. So the demand for mental health continues to be strong. Do you want to go through the equity issue and dividend policy?
Yeah, just in terms of the transaction, if it's a transaction at $1 billion, how we would look at it, firstly, we would gear up on a combined basis as much as we can. And if that is not enough, then we will have to go to shareholders effectively to ask for equity-based support for the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the dividend policy, we've got more philosophy than a policy. We need to say that our dividend growth will be in line with SA earnings growth. And for the moment, that's what we would intend to keep on doing.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Avinash.
The next question comes from Sean Ungerer. Is that a follow-up question? Of RCAP Capital.
Hi, guys. Just in terms of the Polish tariff reforms, do you mind just commenting a bit as to, I don't know if you are able to, as to how perhaps the public sector has responded? And then just secondly, just following up on the M&A part, I mean, you sort of said that you'll gear up an equity issue. Is divestment in Max Healthcare not an option to sort of free up cash? And then just thirdly, do you mind just commenting a little bit about the price environment in India? Thanks.
Sorry, I'm Sean. Is this how the public sector under reacted to the tariffs put in Poland?
In Poland, yeah.
Okay. There's been quite a outcry from especially the public hospitals. The public hospitals are less efficient than the private hospitals, and a few of them have actually stated in the media that the reduction in tariffs would result in them not being able to buy equipment, and that would ultimately have a negative impact on the ability to deliver the service to their patients. We've had also one of our competitors stating in the media that they will be closing six of the cardiac units. What we're doing, and also on top of that, they are considering also reducing the remuneration that they pay to the cardiologist. So overall, there is unhappiness in the market about that. It's not yet impacted on the delivery of care, but you know, with the closure of some of these cardiac units, what you have is, you know, with the NFZ, these the contracts are granted to specific regions. And if you close a facility, it means that in an emergent situation, the patient would not get the care. And then you're going to see an outcry from the public. I haven't seen it yet, but we do expect that that's going to come in the future. What was interesting is the state also has pulled back to a lot of the statements that they've made a few months ago where they were talking about not including the private sector in the delivery of care, where now they're saying that they understand that they cannot be without the private sector and actually welcome the private sector as partners in delivering the care.
Second question was on if we would sell next.
Yes.
In terms of if we would sell, we see a lot of value still in that. But it really depends on the target that we've identified and how that target can be funded, for sure. And then just the
pricing of Irish India.
Pricing out of India is, on a year-to-year basis, is about 4 to 6% of peer pricing. But the big thing in India that our team is working on is to get the mix right in terms of channel mix, where they split government work, private or out-of-pocket work, and
tourism
and corporate. That's where they get the uplift in terms of pricing.
With an emphasis on medical tourism, which is the highest margin.
Okay, great, thanks.
Special.
Adam, it's Roy. Yeah, you mind if I ask just two questions quick?
Sure.
First one, so we saw yesterday Discovery coming out with an average increase in premiums of around about 10% next year. Perhaps you can just give us some sort of indication of what you are looking for or how any type of negotiations with the likes of Discovery are going for your funding increases and how that compares to your cost inflation. And then second, if you can just remind us how well positioned you are for the growth in medical over surgical cases that you are seeing over the next 12 months. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we saw from Discovery with like a 10% increase is going to be fairly consistent what comes through the rest of the market. In fact, we think the balance of the market might be even higher than that. And it's a reflection of, so the pricing is going on in the market to a point, but it's mainly about the increased utilization. I mean, you see the fact that, you know, there's no new lives growth in this market, but you know, I don't know what the other groups are doing, but we certainly, you know, our PPD growth is between 3 and 3.5%. So there's certainly an increase in utilization that's happening in the market, which is driving the premium increases from schemes to members. In terms of pricing, you know, we sort of think the pricing is around the CPI mark going forward. We don't see it changing much. We used to say CPI plus a half, but we do think it's coming back to CPI. There will be we do think an increase in preferred network deals going forward. That's just kind of the nature of the market becoming more competitive. So that's how we see the pricing going forward. And sorry, Roy, your second question was?
Just on the medical versus surgical, yeah.
Look, we've continued to see an increase in medical versus surgical. I think this is the first year that we've had the acute business, a higher number of PPDs. From medical rather than surgical. Our hospitals are good to deal with. We have our occupancies are around about 31-32%. There's still a bit of scope for that to increase. But we don't really see that trend changing over the next couple of years.
Yeah. So one good thing about the medical cases, they also face typically over weekends, where on a surgical basis, typically a lot of elective cases doesn't happen over weekends. And therefore, we can utilize our assets better.
Maybe just to add there, Roy, what we're also doing is that we are giving more attention on the type of doctors that we recruit into the various hospitals to also make sure that we address the change in the mix.
So that when you say that you don't see the trend changing, you see medical continuing to grow, and so you are focusing on hiring more medical doctors.
We hire good doctors when we can.
Yeah.
You know, obviously physicians are key here. There are not exactly a lot of physicians out there. But you know, it's just we certainly do look at hiring physicians. We also look at hiring surgical doctors. It depends on. Yeah, it depends on the hospital, it depends on the circumstances surrounding the hospital in terms of the demand and supply, in terms of the doctor base that's there.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star, then one.
Are there any more questions after that, Judith?
No, none.
All right, perhaps we can then just call it there. I just want to thank Andre, Peter and Adam for their time this afternoon. Thanks very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Roy. Thank you, Roy.
On behalf of RMB Morgan Stanley, that concludes this afternoon's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.